May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Let me share with you a story. There were two wealthy Episcopalians from a Midwestern city that went off on a pleasure fishing trip to the Caribbean. In addition to being a corporate executive, John was a pilot. So along with his co-worker Robert, they flew first to Miami. From Miami, they were headed to a Caribbean island to a chartered fishing vessel that awaited their arrival. However, on their way to the island, they encountered a tropical storm and had to ditch the plane on a sandy beach of an island that was so remote, they were sure that it was not even on the map. After realizing that they had survived the crash landing and were grateful, Robert immediately began to panic that they would never be found. John's response was, "Don't worry, I'll be found. I make $100,000 a week." At first, Robert looked at him with a baffled face and said, "Do you think the fishing boat folks will look for us? But how will they ever begin to find us?" John's response was, "Don't worry, we'll be found. I make $100,000 a week." Robert was so now angry with John and said, "Are you crazy? We have very little food, very little water, and no shelter. What does making $100,000 a week have to do with anything?" John responded, "Listen, I am a member of St. Swithin's Church, and I tithe. The rector will find me." You thought that was a serious story, didn't you? Back in the late 1970s, as I began college, there was a popular song written and sung by a country musician named John Denver. I suspect most of you have heard of him, who sadly, following that story, which was not a true one, did in fact die in a plane crash. He was a pilot as well. Ellen and I got to see him a number of times in concert. And the poetry of the words in his music often spoke to my heart and still do today. In fact, this particular song that I'm going to quote some of the words from is on my iPod, and I still listen to it a lot. And my children growing up had to endure it as well. The words go something like this: "On the road of experience and trying to find my own way, sometimes I wish that I could fly away. When I think that I'm moving, suddenly things stand still. I'm afraid, because I think they always will. And I'm looking through space, and I find out who I am. And I'm looking to know and understand. Trying to be found. Trying to find your own way." We heard the powerful words from Isaiah in this morning's Old Testament lesson. Isaiah is often thought of as the greatest of the prophets, and he began his ministry almost 750 years before the birth of Christ. And he wrote the following and spoke out the following: "Come now, let us argue it out, says God. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be like snow. though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, by the mouth of the Lord. This has been spoken. Our sins can be forgiven, Isaiah proclaims, and we are to be obedient. We are to be in relationship with God. They mirror the words of Christ almost 800 years later. In other words, are we finding our way to God's way for our life? For that is life itself. How can we begin to live into that life of which Isaiah speaks? How can we be obedient in all aspects of our lives? In my last parish, I invited an Episcopal priest who is actually from this diocese. He was our guest preacher, the Reverend Corky Carlisle. And he came to speak on the day of Stewardship Sunday, but his words for me did not only apply to our finances, but also all of our lives, every aspect of our lives, not just our finances, but all of who we are. And he said, there are only two types of Christians, greedy and grateful. Where are you? And you could hear a pin drop in the cathedral. Where are we in all aspects of our lives? Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms." Elizabeth, affectionately known as Libby, was about 75 when I first came to know her at my parish of Holy Trinity in Decatur, Georgia, that I served as rector for 9 years. She had lived most of her life in Atlanta and most of her spiritual life at Holy Trinity. Although she was originally from the Puritan stronghold of New England, Libby possessed many of what she called the classic traits of a New Englander, including her deeply held belief that one should be thrifty and not waste. Libby and I came to closely know and love one another through her work as a volunteer receptionist at the front desk on Friday mornings. A large part of her ministry on Friday mornings was folding the prepared bulletins for the coming Sunday. We didn't have a folding machine back then. They were all done by hand. And Fridays were usually a bit quieter at the church, so we usually had some time to visit. And over the years, she shared with me how her husband had died in his early 40s of a massive heart attack, and that she was left to raise her son on her own. She also shared some incredible golf stories. She was quite a golfer in her day, with an 8 handicap, and won many tournaments at the local country club. What Libby and I didn't agree on was what we might call trash and treasures when we have a bazaar. When I became the rector of Holy Trinity, the closets were stuffed. The basement was stuffed, or the undercroft. The attic was stuffed with stuff that went clearly back to the founding of that church in the 1800s. I mean, some of it historical and some of it had value. Lots of it didn't. And so, being the slightly neat person that I am, I wanted to throw some things out. It got so bad that Libby used to pull the stuff out of the trash that I had thrown out. One thing that I remember is these awful wire hangers that had like yarn around them that looked like they had been there since 1930 or something and were just half broken, and I threw them out once and she took them back out and hung them back up. I was frustrated, to say the least. We had arguments about that kind of theology of stewardship, and I was sure she just didn't understand. It got so bad that what I started to do was walk things out at night, in the dark, to the dumpster. And I would throw them in the dumpster because I was sure that Libby wouldn't jump in the dumpster and pull them out. I don't think she ever climbed into that smelly dumpster, but I'm not sure. Libby told me almost every month that I could not leave Holy Trinity before she died because I was to do her funeral. And perhaps in a God moment or a God blink or an irony, Libby's was my very last funeral at Holy Trinity. When I did Libby's funeral, I had already received a new call. The last weeks of Libby's life were very painful ones, and her death was indeed a blessing. Throughout her entire life, Libby tithed to the church. She gave 10% to the church. And after her death, I received a call from her son when I was now the rector and dean in South Carolina, to tell me that her mother had left 10% of her estate to Holy Trinity. In the end, that sometimes fickle New Englander had taught me more than any book about stewardship. All her life, she was finding her way to God and being found by Jesus Christ. She gave of all of who she was, being obedient. The poet W.H. Auden once wrote, "I know nothing except what everyone knows. If there when grace dances, I should dance. If there when grace dances, I should dance. The grace of God dances in the place of gratefulness. Not just with our finances, but who we are as human beings. All of that which God has blessed us. That we live our lives as grateful Christians. What are our lives like as grateful Christians? In your daily life, are you finding your way to God's way? Are you seeking to be found by Jesus Christ? Are we ready for that unexpected hour to which Jesus points?" Amen.